Radio.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk. Welcome to the second annual fantasy football preview show. Tonight, I got my brother on with me, Carl, and one of my homeboy, Tracy. He's running late, but he'll be on with us, hopefully. But, you know, if not, you know, we got to keep it rolling. But, like I said, I got my brother, Carl. Been in multiple fantasy leagues together. We talked probably right after our drafts about strategy and stuff. But, you know, he's a formidable competitor when it comes to fantasy football. So without further ado, my brother Carl. What up, bro? How you doing today?
Hey, bro, I'm doing good, bro. Hey, I appreciate the invite, you know. Formidable opponent, indeed. You know,
yes, sir.
I love my family, but I take special pleasure beating down my family.
Yeah. Hey, man, it's crazy because what the audience don't know, but me, my brother Carl, and my other brother Jermaine, when we look at our schedule, we kind of sort of circle those games. Because those are like the bragging right games. But, you know, man, it's all in good fun. You know, we love fantasy football. Actually, our brother Jermaine he's a commissioner in another league that we're in. It used to be Carl.
Yeah.
I think Carl passed it on to Jermaine. And, we love fantasy sports. But this year is going to be kind of different, man. I was hoping Trace would jump on. We're going to go ahead and get started. All right, man, I know me and you've been talking via text message and stuff about this year and draft strategies. This year is going to be kind of different because of COVID. So Tell me, does your strategy change? Are you going to grow with your same strategy? what you looking at when you get in that draft?
You know, it's going to change. Because of COVID, when I say change, this particular year, I think I'm going to – I normally pay attention to bye weeks. I've been doing some research, and I think because of what's going on, I'm not going to pay attention to bye weeks this year. I just take the L that week. You know, if I got a team, I got five people in the same bye week, so be it. Because you never know who's going to be there from week to week. Who's gonna be out for 2 weeks because they got COVID? You know,
yep.
I can't worry about that. And I think I'm gonna put a little more importance personally on the tight end position because I went back and I looked at all my drafts like last 5 years, and I always suffer at the tight end position, and because it's not a deep position. You got a top three or four. And then the drop off is dramatic.
So
you got to get one of those early, and I mean, you know, like within your first three picks. Which
man,
is not
if
normal.
I see you get a tight end in your first three picks, I probably pass out.
Right, because you know it goes against my moral.
but hold on real quick, Carl. What up, Tracy?
Hey, what's going on, Lee?
Trace,
man,
what's
nothing, man. Chilling.
Hey,
you know,
I
me and Carl up here.
A little late.
That's all right.
Hey, look.
Hey, but
the way I see it, it's just like he was late to fantasy football last year. You know, his season didn't go as well as he said it was going to go.
Oh, man. I ain't trying to hear that. That was last year. You know,
but
nothing
look,
happened since then. I forgot all about it.
You ain't lying. The whole world happened.
Hey,
there you go.
Hey. Winners never forget. I'm telling you, I got trophy case proven. I'm looking at it.
Oh, I remember that stuff. I just don't remember last year, so I'm with you.
Hey, but, you know, just to recap some stuff we talked about last year that came to the top of my head, I know last year when we did this show, I asked you guys which player y'all thought was going to win the fantasy MVP. I want to say, Tracy, you picked C-Mac. I want to say, Carl, you picked C-Mac too, right?
Uh, Shoot, I want to say yeah. I think it turned out good,
so I'll say yeah too. Yeah, I said him.
And then
I said
Saquon, didn't you?
Yeah, that's who I said. Yeah.
No, yeah, I don't think I said. Oh, you know, I didn't say Saquon. I said.
One of y'all said C-Mac.
No, I said my man. What's my running back? Carolina. I said, "Why?"
C-Mac.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was me.
And then last year, I asked you guys which team we thought would be a good fantasy pick. Carl, you went with the Bucks, which ended up actually being a good pick, even though Jameis had 30 interceptions. But he did get most people. He did get most people to the Super Bowl.
Got me there.
No, but he did get most people to the Super Bowl, and he did have 2,000 yard receivers. So, you know, I think Tracy, you went with your Falcons.
Mm.
Of course I did.
Falcons.
And then me, I went with the Colts. But then, like, I think a week after our show, Andrew Luck retired on me. So I was like, yeah, you know, man, whatever. But look, Tracy, man, I asked all this question. Nobody knew that was going to happen. It was just like, it came out of nowhere.
But Tracy,
I asked Carl, you know, how his draft strategy going to change this year due to COVID. And I'm going to go ahead and let him finish, and then I'm going to come to you with the same question. Go ahead and finish, bro.
Okay.
Yeah. So just to recap, Tracy, what I was saying was I'm not gonna worry about bye weeks this year because of COVID. You know, guys can be out 2 weeks, you know, in an instant, and you'd be looking crazy at your roster and they had to make some drastic moves. So yeah, I just take the L, whatever week that ends up being, I just take that L and hope it's not against one of you guys. You know, I might not be able to handle that. and then stay away. No phone, no anything that week. And then the tight end position, you know, I was telling Lee, I went back and looked at my last 5 years of drafts over multiple platforms, and I always suffer at the tight end position. And it's because it's not a deep position. You got a top 4 or 5 people, and then it just drop off after that. You got scrubs that you just literally just dropping on a bye week to pick up somebody else more that'll do it for you. And, you know, once you get past Mark Andrews and Kelsey and Kittle, what you got left? Nothing. Not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and then obviously, you know, gotta get you running back. I know how you feel about the running back.
Oh, there you go.
But you gotta get them, and you know, and go from that. So like I said, don't be surprised if I get a tight end, you know, in the top 3 picks.
I'm not buying it. All right, Tracy. So Tracy, is your draft strategy gonna change because of COVID, or are you gonna stick to what you normally do?
No, I'm gonna change it up a little bit. Just like Carl just referenced, you know, I'm always gonna go running backs. I usually try to go running backs at least first 2 picks. He makes a very good point about tight end because, like he said, there's only like really 3 guys that you can count on that's going to be consistent every week. You know you're going to get something from them. And then after that, it's just a crapshoot. So I think what I'm going to do this year is kind of like what Carl said. If I see one of those guys, I'm not picking them first or second. Don't get me wrong. But if you get to the 3rd round and there's one of those elite guys there, one of the 3 guys he said, and I might even stretch and put Ertz from Philadelphia in there as one of those type of guys. If one of those guys is there, I just might pick them because other than that, you scrambling every week, position where every week you're changing tight ends, trying to see who the hot hand is going to be. But the other thing that I'm going to do that's going to be different is once I get past those first 4 rounds or maybe even the first 5, where I get my 2 running backs, I get at least 1 good wide receiver, a tight end. And then in that 5th round, I'll probably try to get a quarterback. That way I can get me a really good one, and I don't have to struggle with, you know, same thing I said about tight end. Every week you're looking for a hot hand. around that sixth round, I'm basically just looking for who the best guy is that's available. And it doesn't even matter what the position is. If it's somebody I need, whoever the best guy is at the top, that's what I'm going to get. And then coming toward the end, I'm guessing that we'll probably have a couple of extra positions this year because of COVID. So probably in that last four rounds or so, that's when I'll try to get a sleeper or two. And then, of course, at the very end is when you worry about or for me anyway, that's when I worry about defense and kicker and stuff like that. So that's the main thing is just after the first five rounds, it's just going to be best player available for me. I'm not looking for a particular position.
Wow, I am shocked. I'm shocked.
You got to make adjustments, man.
Man. Hey, man, I ain't even gonna lie. I thought you guys would say, I'm not gonna make any changes. I'm gonna go to what's true and dear. But I'm with you guys, man. So we're going three for three and we're changing our strategies up. I think for me, this year, I definitely don't want too many offensive guys on the same team. You know, a lot of people like to go try to get the quarterback, running back, and wide receiver for one team, you know. I'm going to try to stay away from that strategy just in case, you know, something happens. You know, I don't want too many guys on the same team. And opposite of my brother, I think I'm going to monitor my bye weeks when I'm picking my bench guys. I think I want bench guys that won't be on a bout that's going to kind of sort of balance out my team so that just in case something does happen, you know, my number one running back, then, you know, he get COVID, then I can go to my fourth string running back because I know he's going to be available. And I think one thing that we all as veterans and playing fantasy football is I think your bench really going to have to be quality this year. You just can't pick guys up just in case. You know, you got to pick guys up that you know that's going to be able to produce just in case something happens. I think this year you'll see probably with a lot of veteran guys that's been playing for a while, you'll see a lot of us making a lot of adjustments during the draft to our game plan that we normally would do. Especially when I'm listening to you guys, I'm one of them guys that don't tight end. Yeah, you know, once you get past the top four or five, you know, it's like, okay, you rolling the dice. You know, but I think a tight end, if you don't get the top three, basically I'm going to keep rolling with, let me get another running back, let me get a quarter, let me get a wide receiver, something like that, or a quality flex guy. But I'm just excited to get in the draft room, man, because I want to see what a lot of people do, whether or not a lot of people panic. Because, you know, a lot of people panic in a fantasy draft for some strange reason. But I'm looking forward to us getting in the room and us having fun, man. But, Tracy, I'm going to throw this question out to you first. And it's the same question I asked you guys last year. What's your favorite fantasy offense going into this season and why? Carl, I know who you're going with, so I didn't even put it on my list. So, Tracy, who you got, bro? All right, Carl, go ahead and jump in until we get Tracy back.
Hey, just like last year, it was between my Bucks and the Chiefs.
Yep.
and I was right about last year about everything that I said. But except the running back. But I won't have that problem this year.
Explain.
Well, okay. Look, first of all, we're going to go to the quarterback position. We swap quarterbacks, all right? Jameis threw 30 touchdowns, 31 interceptions last year. Brady threw 24 touchdowns. I didn't even want – come on, man. Don't rub it in. Brady threw 24 touchdowns. I think he had five or six interceptions, okay? In this offense, with the weapons that we have, he will eclipse 30 touchdown passes this year. He's going to get that. Why he's going to get that is not just because of the wide receivers and the tight end, but now that he brought in a stable at running back, it's going to be crazy because, you know, when Brady was in New England, their whole setup was when they got ahead, you knew predictably he was going to hand off, and he was hand off to nobody, okay? Well, Bruce Arians, he run the ball, but he wanted to sling it. He wanted to chuck it down the field. Brady's going to get opportunity after opportunity to show that 4-3 is really nothing but a number. And when Cornette and Rojo and Shady, it's going to be like a three-headed monster back there running the ball. And play action is going to kill teams. I'm excited. The season can't get here fast enough. I'm ready for week one. I may break in the stadium talking about they ain't having no fans. I'm going to have to sit up in there.
All right, let me ask you this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. How do you see the tight end position playing out for your Bucs?
Oh, it's easy. We're running 12 personnel. So it's going to be two tight ends. We're going to have two tight ends, two wide receivers. Which two is going to be? I think it'll interchange based on the matchup. But,
uh-huh.
You know, just off the top of my head, you know, Gronkowski going to be out
talk
there.
Talk about fantasy, Carl. Talk about fantasy. Fantasy-wise.
Oh. Man. Well, you got your Kelsey and your Kittle. Those are your top two tight ends.
No, I'm talking about your team. Your tight ends for your team. Which one is the fantasy guy that we should look out for the Bucs?
Whew. Look.
Exactly.
No. I'm going to go out on a limb. And, man, that's tough. That is tough because Gronkowski is still learning the offense. I'm just going to go – I'm going to say sleeper O.J. Howard because I think with Gronkowski there, he's learning from him and – he in a make or break situation. He gonna push because I thought they were gonna trade him. I really did.
Yeah, I thought the Patriots should have asked for him in exchange, but
yeah,
they didn't.
I thought they were gonna trade him. So, but the talent is there, and I think that and the same thing with Cameron Brait. So, and I don't think Gronkowski really lasts more than two, maybe 3 years. So if you can hold on to those guys. And, they will reap the reward of training with somebody of his caliber. So I'm going to say O.J. Howard. I think he will blossom this year because, you know, I'm reading reports that he's catching the ball a whole lot better. He's in better shape this year. I'm going to put him as my leading tight end fantasy-wise for the Bucs.
Okay. All right, Tracy, I know you fell off for a minute. But which team you think going to have the best fantasy offense and why?
Well, I think Baltimore is going to be – they're going to be gangbusters, and here's why. Obviously, we already know who Lamar Jackson is. We know what Mark Ingram did last year. Now add J.K. Dobbins to that. Okay, mm-hmm. Then you got Hollywood Brown. Then you got Devin DuVernay. You got him with Steve.
Yep,
and then you
Texas.
Got Mark Andrews at the tight end.
Mm-hmm.
So even aside, I mean, these guys are loaded. And so as backups, Gus Edwards had over 700 yards last year as a backup. And so now he's going to be
what?
What, third string. And so you got this dude as a back, and then you got Willie Snead. And either one of those dudes can pop off at any time. One of their backup tight ends can pop off at any time. They got a good offensive line, and then they got that defense that's going to get the ball back for them. So they're going to have a lot of possessions. You know they're going to score a lot of points. And then to top all that off, they play the Browns twice and they play the Bengals twice. So you got four games where you know they're going to blow up. You know that J.K. Dobbins is going to go off because he's going to get a lot of those garbage time carries. He's going to play during the regular time too, but they're going to sit Ingram down, and this dude is just going to rack up all kinds of yardage. So I expect Baltimore to have a really good season of offense.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. Okay, another question for you, though, Trace. So you said Baltimore, right? Baltimore ran a lot of two tight end stuff last year, where them tight ends were running down the field wide open. Who you think they're going to have on the other side of Andrews? You think they're going to go with one tight end, a more traditional offense with one tight end, or you think they're going to plug in another tight end on the other side of Andrews?
I think they're just going to plug in another tight end, because one thing about them is they're loaded with tight ends. When you can afford to trade somebody like Hayden Hurst, and I mean, he's a good player, but he just couldn't break through for them because Mark Andrews is just that good. And so they have one or two other tight ends that can fill in. I think Nick Boyle is one of them. They might even have one or two other guys who I'm not, their names don't come to mind. So I think they can just keep rolling what they were doing last year. And you don't have to be a lead on that other side, because they're not going to be really rolling any coverage. They're not going to be worried about that other tight end. So they're going to be able to do the same things they did last year, if not even more, because they have even more talent than they did last year.
All right. I forgot they had Boyle. Well,
yeah.
I had a couple teams written down. Of course, New Orleans with Breeze, Kamara, Sanders, Murray, and Cook. But my only problem with them is Drew Breeze seems to tire towards the end of the year, so you really don't know what you're going to get with him. I had Seattle just because of Russ. But I'm going with a sleeper, man. And I know you guys when I say this, calm down. It's fantasy. I'm rolling with Arizona, man. I think Arizona is going to be explosive this year. I think with Murray coming back for his second year, the acquisition of D-Hop, top three wide receiver in the league. You got Steady Fitz on the other side who can still do his thing. Kenyon Drake was definitely a welcome surprise last year, but he has to prove it to me, because I think last year he was playing for a contract and he got his contract, so would he still have the same hunger? So, and then they got the cat Edmonds behind him. So just in case Drake, you know, happens to suffer an injury, they got a backup behind him. And then I think you have to worry about Christian Kirk. I think Kirk can probably flourish in this offense because of the attention D-Hop and Fitz going to get. The only problem Arizona has is the tight end position. If they can go out and address the tight end position, hopefully before the season start or when teams start making cuts, I think their offense will be even more explosive. So I'm looking at Arizona to be an offense that probably all their skill position guys will probably get drafted with Murray, D-Hop, Fitz, Drake, and probably Kirk. If they can find a quality tight end, yeah, I think they'll definitely be a team that we'll want to watch. But the only problem Arizona has is they play in a tough division. They play in the same division as Seattle and the Niners, who are definitely known for playing stellar defense. But Murray, like, lit them up last year without D-Hop. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what they do on the field this year. All right. You know, we just went over teams that we think are going to blow up as far as fantasy units. And we didn't even throw the Browns in there. The Browns got what? Hunt, Chubb, Baker, two tight ends, and two good wide receivers. We didn't even throw them in there. So, hey, you know, I think Baker is probably the reason why we didn't throw them in there, because he's
inconsistent.
Yeah,
that's a good reason not to.
Yeah,
he kind of fell off last year. So, Tracy, I'm going to come to you first on this one. Go ahead.
Real quick, though, before you go to the next one, another team that I had, just in case one of you guys said Baltimore first, and it pains me to say this because I cannot stand this team, and I'm sure most people feel the same way, as the stupid Dallas Cowboys. But they are going to be good on offense. I can't, but I have to tell the truth.
Yeah.
They got Dak, they got Zeke, they got the two wide receivers, both went for 1,000 yards. Then you add CeeDee Lamb to that. They don't have Witten hogging up targets, and he can't even run after the catch, can't get no separation. So, I mean, they actually going to have an athletic tight end this year getting all those targets. So, yeah, they got to be tough on offense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Jarwin will probably finish in the top 10 in tight ends this year because he's definitely more athletic than Jason Witten, and he do have some wheels. And when they did use him, it seemed like he was wide open all the time. But for some strange reason, they went with Jason Witten. But, Tracy, I'm going to come to you for this one. What player will you not draft this year?
I think it's going to be the same guy from last year. It's going to be Le'Veon Bell. I just can't do nothing with that dude. You know why I'm not going to draft him? Because he doesn't know what the Jets want to do. Well, that's I'm going to come to that. He does not fit what they want to do. Adam Gase doesn't like throwing the running back. That's not his thing. His coach doesn't know how to use him. His coach doesn't like him. He doesn't like his coach. And he probably wishes he never had left Pittsburgh. There, that dude was always, what, 1, 2, 3 in the draft? But unquestioned.
Yep.
Even with his injury history, unquestioned. Now, he might go, what, 3rd round? Maybe 4th round? I wouldn't even take him there. I just can't do nothing. He drags down your entire team. He's just a sleeper off. If you get him on your team, he's going to rub off and put bad luck on all your other players. Y'all can pick him. I don't want no part of this team.
Yeah. He called Le'Veon Bell the slut run for fantasy football, dog.
He is. Dang. He is.
Wow.
Okay.
All right, Carl, who wants you draft?
Man, you know what? I think me and Tracy kindred spirits because it's going to be the same person I said last year, AJ Green. I can't – look, the dude, you know, I would say it's some Georgia bias in there, but, you know, when they get to the pros, I look at them a little differently.
Hey,
not the state, bro, just the team. But
all right, that's bad too.
Hey, man, to each his own, bro. Everybody gotta have a team.
Lord, I forgot we had Gators and Bulldogs in the room tonight. We do got Gators and Bulldogs.
Hey.
All right, Carl, go ahead.
So yeah, I can't. AJ Green won't have a spot on my roster. I can't count on him enough to waste a draft pick or a roster spot. I mean, even now, he's out with hammy issues. He was out last year, you know, because he had the injury. Why? I mean, until he proved himself, if he proves himself this year, you know, halfway through the season, he's showing his old self, then I may regret it. But I don't see it because, you know, with my draft strategy, I'll be locked in regardless. Somebody else can have it. But I can't trust the dude. And I mean, who's really throwing the pill to this dude to really make it happen?
Yep, that's crazy because I was gonna say the same guy I said last year.
Yeah,
David Johnson. I can't do David Johnson, man. I think Houston got shafted in this trade. I think Duke Johnson is probably more of a viable fantasy player than David Johnson because you never know what you're going to get out of David Johnson. If I did have him on my team, I would probably play him maybe twice against the Jaguars. I would play him against the Jaguars. Outside of that, I wouldn't have a spot on my team for him. But the player that I'm actually going to go with is Stephon Diggs, man. I want no part of Stephon Diggs, bro.
Ooh.
I think he's going to miss playing with Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
I think in Buffalo, they don't really push the ball down the field. That's why you see John Brown and Cole Beasley being like they was their top pass catchers. Yes, John Brown got speed, but if you see last year, they adjusted his route running so he was more the intermediate guy. He was between 15 to 20 yards, not the 20 to 30 yards that he was, I want to say, in Baltimore. I just don't. I think Stephon Diggs is too temperamental. That when he's not getting the ball, he brings the team down. You know, everybody got to go over to me. Hey, man, keep your head up. I don't think Buffalo is built for that because they are primed to win the AFC East. So I'm not drafting Stephon Diggs or David Johnson. Oh, man. But, damn, you guys, I mean, Slut Rock of Fantasy and A.J. Green. Okay. That's what's up, man. All right, Carl, I'm going to come to you on this one first, bro.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And fantasy is really hard to judge rookies. And this year is even harder because we don't get preseason.
Right.
Which rookie you got on your radar as far as drafting?
My rookie to watch is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And that Chiefs offense, he probably start. I mean, he only has to deal with Darrell Williams. And that ain't, you know, that ain't much.
They already said Williams is the backup.
Oh, well, see, there it is. So that proves my great fantasy wisdom right there. But he's going to get the lion's share. He's gonna run it, but he's going to get the lion's share. And I watched this dude last year, of course. And dude's a beast, man. And with that offense, with the weapons they already have, you know, just with the quarterback they already scared to death of, dude is going to have open field running. You know, he could possibly, from a running back position on that particular team, vie for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, man. I think he set up really well because Andy Reid does know how to use his running backs. If we look at Damian Williams was on there. I mean, he came to Kansas City and became like a major factor for them. And I think with Helaire, man, being that he knows he's the starter, I mean, he's going to get the majority of the reps. Darrell Williams is the backup. And the Washington kid, they say he might not make the team. But I think Andy Reid will keep DeAndre Washington because he can catch the ball off the backfield. All right, Tracy, which rookie you watching for, Tracy?
All right, this dude that I'm going to say, he ties into who I already said for the offense I'm looking forward to this year, and that's going to be J.K. Dobbins. And I know that he's not going to start, but here's why I said him. Number one, Mark Ingram is already on the wrong side of 30. He just barely passed it, but he'll be 31 in December. So my thinking is that they're going to try to save him as much as they can for when they really need him. In other words, they need him for the playoffs. They're going to win at least, 10, 11 games with him not getting a whole bunch of carries. So that's where J.K. Dobbins comes in. So he's not going to have to carry the load. He's always going to be fresh because he's the backup. He's going to get a lot of garbage time carries because, like I said, we know how good Baltimore is. So we know they're going to win a lot of games. And a lot of those games, they're probably going to be way out in front. So that's where this dude comes in. Last year, Ingram had 1,018 yards, and he only had 202 carries. So that comes out to 5 yards a carry, and he had 10 touchdowns. Now think about this. The backups had 191 carries, and those backups were Gus Edwards, and he's okay, and Justin Hill. But you have to believe that Dobbins is going to take a lot of those carries. He's going to take maybe even a handful of Ingram's carries. And then Jackson had 176 carries last year. And I don't think they want him to run the ball nearly as much because now the threat of the run is just as dangerous as him actually running. So this Dobbins is going to get probably anywhere from 160, 175 carries. So he's going to come close to, if not surpass, 1,000 yards. He's probably going to get double-digit touchdowns. I just think he's going to be really good. I mean, it would have been really easy to say one of the other guys like Joe Burrow, who you know is going to play the whole game every game. Or somebody like that. But I just think this dude is going to be somebody you need to keep your eye on.
Well, I think on their depth chart, they have him number 3 right now behind Gus Edwards. But I think one thing about Dobbins is he give you that home run ability. And I think that's something that that's going to open their eyes, especially when he get in the open field. He can't run past people. So – if I think he will probably pass Gus Edwards on the depth chart. I think Justice Hill will probably most likely get traded. I don't see them keeping four running backs, but you never know with Baltimore. They keep the best players. So I think the one guy that – it was one guy that I was going to say, but when the Bucks picked up Fournette, I kind of went away from him. I thought Keyshawn Vaughn, where the Bucks had a chance to have a good rookie year because he can run it and catch it, and he's coming from the SEC. So I thought he would have a good year, but I don't really see him being on the field as much now. With I think Fournette probably being the bell cow, Rojo being third down and change of pace. And if they – I think McCoy going to get cut. I think they're going to keep Vaughn. But I just don't see him getting a lot of touches due to the guys he's playing behind. So I'm kind of going to go a different route. I think Justin Jefferson with the Vikings is the guy I'm going to keep my eyes on. He's walking into a starter's position with Stephon Diggs being gone. He's going to play for a quarterback, Kirk Cousins, who does spread the ball around. Kirk Cousins ain't a guy that just throws to one guy 20 times a game. If you ever watch Kirk Cousins play, he spreads the ball around to who's ever open. And I think Jefferson is more explosive than Thielen, but Thielen is, as we both know, as we all probably would say, is more reliable than Jefferson only because of his experience. But I'm looking for Justin Jefferson to have a big year. Although receivers are known to struggle in their rookie year, but the way offenses are ran in college nowadays and the way the college game has come into the NFL, I think between Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb, they're probably going to be impactful rookies on their team. But I'm keeping my eye on Justin Jefferson, man.
That's a good call.
I wanted to say Jonathan Taylor and DeAndre Swift, but man, it's just something about Wisconsin running backs coming to the league because they done had like 1,000 carries or, you know, man, they got a lot of carries on their body. And I just don't know whether or not DeAndre is going to be the feature back. But Kerryon is always hurt. Mm-hmm. So maybe DeAndre will be a guy that we're looking at down the road. Which player, Carl, are you looking to see, or do you think will have a comeback or a bounce back year this year? Who kind of struggled last year or was projected to do well and didn't? Which guy you think is going to bounce back?
That's easy, bro. It's Cam Newton.
Whoa.
Cam Newton. Yeah, bro. It's Cam Newton. Look. And I'm not a Cam Newton fan, but I'm looking at what Cam Newton has never had in his time in Carolina is the discipline that he's going to get from Belichick. He's not going to allow him to just freelance out there. It's going to be a strict regiment of what and how things need to be. And what they call it, the Patriot way. Today, he was named a starter and the captain, voted by the team. So that means his teammates are looking at him, what he's doing in practice, and they respect that. He's leading them properly. They know what leadership looks like. They know what Brady was or is. So this guy can't be too far away. He's gonna get there. He had about 2 or 3 good seasons where they won double digit wins in Carolina. They still get double digit wins with him at the helm. Maybe a little differently. Maybe they won't score as many points because they still lack wide receivers. You know, that's always been a problem when whatever team he's on.
They're the NFC East team,
right? So that'll help him. Them boys up there won't know how to deal with that doggone the behemoth of a doggone quarterback, and he's going to run it. So, yeah, I fully expect him to win comeback player of the year.
All right. I got to give you a little bit of pushback. You touched on it, but we got to expound on it.
Mm-hmm.
He has no – it looks to me like he has no weapons on that team.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Cam's ability – he has ability when he's healthy. But does his lack of weapons worry you when it comes to fantasy?
No. He didn't have any weapons his first couple years in Carolina, and he was killing everybody. He was out there. He was out there with doggone Tracy, Carl, and Lee.
Steve Smith. Steve Smith, Greg Olsen.
No, bruh. Bruh. Okay. So, Olsen, yeah. He was a top 15 tight end for a long time. And that's always a quarterback safety valve. So he's going to get it. But what receivers did he have that he can consistently count on? They drafted doggone Benjamin thinking he's going to come in there and just change the game, give him their Julio Jones. And that dude just,
hurt and slow.
He shit the bed. Yeah, he shit the bed. You know, so. I think he can do it.
Here's my problem with. Go ahead.
I think he could do it though. With the scheme that Belichick and what's their coordinator up there, that young fella.
Josh McDaniel.
Yeah, they will cook something up to make Cam and great. And the rest of those guys, they get open and can't hit them.
Okay. All right, Tracy, who you got? Comeback player of the year, bounce back player of the year.
Just real quick on this, to piggyback on what Carl was talking about with Cam Newton, he has a problem up there that he has never encountered before, racism. So right now, they're okay with him. But as soon as they lose a game and he fumbles the ball, he throws interceptions or whatever, mm-hmm. and he comes to the game with them tight stretch pants on that he wears and them culottes and those women pants that he wears, they're going to be calling the N-word before you know it. And he has not seen that type of thing before. I just wanted to put that out there.
Okay.
All right. So
duly
now,
noted. Duly noted. We got it.
Okay. All right. So back to the bounce back season. I'm going to talk about a guy that you talked down on earlier, and that's going to be David Johnson. And the reason I said him is because of a guy that you know I don't like, Tide. I have never liked Carlos Hyde. I don't even understand how people ever picked him, but he had a pretty good year last year. Because I even admitted that to you at work one day. I was like, hey, man, I have to say he's playing good this year. But David Johnson can at least do what Carlos Hyde did last year. Carlos Hyde had 245 carries and 10 touchdowns. Never thought he would be able to do either one of those. Johnson's going to get the bulk of the carries. We know Duke Johnson is there, but his main thing is catching out of the backfield. So he's not really a guy that's going to get the ball 20 or 25 times a game. And then also something that the Texans might start doing, if they were smart, they would, is have both of those guys in the same time. Because remember a few years back when Atlanta went to the Super Bowl, they were using that two backfield where both guys were pass catchers and you didn't know who to cover. And they were killing people with that. I don't understand why more teams don't do it. So they would have the ability to do that. And plus they got Deshaun Watson. So Kyler Murray last year, he was good. He wasn't Deshaun Watson good because it was just his first year. And David Johnson has never played with a quarterback as good as this guy. So I'm not saying he's going to be the number one running back in fantasy, but I think he will be back closer to what he used to be, not superstar level, but not garbage like he was last year. So I look for him to be serviceable and be able to make some teams in fantasy as, maybe even as high as a running back too.
Okay, well, I guess, man, you're going to have to – one of us going to fall on the sword on this one.
Well, let's make a bet of a Kirk Cousins Washington jersey on it. Let's do it.
Oh. Oh.
You know that's a joke. I wouldn't want to win that bet.
Hey. All right, man. That's interesting. I'm looking at – I wrote down five names, actually. I wrote down T.Y. Hilton, Julian Edelman, and Matthew Stafford. I think Stafford and Hilton, because both of them got hurt last year, and Edelman because he dropped the ball so much last year, and I don't think they can afford to have him dropping the ball this year with Cam at quarterback. But I'm going with these two guys as a duo, man. I'm going with Big Ben and Juju. Big Ben got hurt last year, and Juju just – I don't know whether or not it was the pressure of being the number one. Plus, he did get hurt also. But I think Big Ben and Juju as a duo would definitely be formidable this year, especially if Ben can stay healthy. He will throw the ball to Juju. Juju will get looks and targets. And with Washington and Deontay Johnson, I think his last name is Johnson, with both of them coming on last year, you really can't double Juju, and you can put him in a slot. So I'm looking at Ben and Juju definitely to be big-time players this year in fantasy, but I wouldn't be surprised if Stafford and T.Y. Hilton also bounce back. But I'm saying that worries me about Hilton is Phillip Rivers. I can't trust Phillip Rivers anymore. He's just a turnover machine. A lot of people say, well, Indianapolis has a good offensive line. Okay. He was throwing a lot of interceptions last year, not under pressure. So, I don't know. But I'm going with Ben and Juju, man. Even though they're playing in a tough division, I think Ben can navigate, you know, some things in the pocket. You know, he ain't easy to take down. And he definitely put on weight since he's been hurt. So he's gonna be even harder to bring down. So I think I'm rolling with the duo Big Ben and Juju and Pittsburgh. And if for them to make the playoffs, they're going to need big games from them too and big seasons from them too. Did you have another player that you thought would have a bounce back season, Carl or Tracy?
I locked in on Cam.
Okay. All right, then. Let's move on to the next question, man. You know, normally in the late rounds of the make or break your draft or make your team stronger. Trace, I'm going to come to you first on this. Which late round gem or cuff do you think you got to have on your team this year? Or we should have, you know, people should keep an eye out on?
Well, I think a guy that you need to keep an eye on is going to be Alexander Mattison from the Vikings. And there's two reasons for that. Well, actually, I guess three. One of them is we know Dalvin Cook, as great as he gets dinged up quite a bit. So he's going to miss a quarter here, a quarter there, if not entire game. And we saw Madison last year. You guys saw how good he was when Cook got hurt.
Yeah.
They didn't really miss
yep.
him. I ain't going to say they didn't miss him at all, but they did not miss him as much. And so Madison is just good. That's another reason you have to keep an eye on him. And then the final reason, we have Kirk Cousins to thank for. Because if he's standing up there talking about if he dies, he dies, and he really don't care about COVID-19, if you have a guy on your team that thinks like that, he could take anybody out at any time. So you need to keep this guy in your back pocket as a cuff simply for that reason. So, but no, in all seriousness, I just think this guy is good. I think he's going to get some opportunities. And then if Cook does get hurt, which he has proven to be doing that type of thing, you'll have somebody that could be as good as a running back one on the roster.
All right, Cole, who are you looking at in the late rounds?
I'm looking at somebody Tracy called out earlier, and that's CeeDee Lamb. I think in that Cowboys offense, they start three wide receivers, so he's going to get one of those spots behind Cooper and Gallup. And, I mean, I didn't really think of them as a hot offense until Tracy got me thinking. And that kind of makes me nervous. If it wasn't for that poor defense, I'd be worried about the Cowboys.
Yeah, their secondary is gonna be horrendous.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, that guy. I mean, now don't get me wrong. I think he's going to start off the season slow. That's why I put him as a late round gem. I don't think he's gonna get the numbers with Cooper and Gallup in front of him like that. But you know, they're gonna run him on reverses and screens and stuff like that for him to get that speed. And if he can put on just a little bit of weight, you know, that dude could be he can move up easily. He can take over for Cooper, and they can slide Cooper on up out of there. So your boy Jerry Jones is always worried about the cap. He don't pay you too much now.
Well, hell, they just gave Amari $20 million, so I don't know about that one.
Hey,
all right, man, I'm gonna throw this name out there for you guys, just to be a conversation starter. Then I get to mine. Mm. Antonio Brown. Hey, somebody. For real. We know he got to serve 8 games, so that'll give you the second half of the season. And if you're a title contender, he's there for the stretch run. Do y'all see anybody drafting AB?
Nope.
You talking about drafting him in the fantasy draft, or do we see a team taking a chance on him in real life?
Well, I see a team taking a chance on him, but do you think he's draftable in fantasy?
No, I think he's pickable in waivers as you get closer to the time when his suspension is over, simply because of COVID, because you have to believe that the way football is played, you know, some guys are going to go down. So some team is going to need a wide receiver, and that's when he's going to get his opportunity. So, yeah, I think somebody will pick him up, not draft him, but pick him up later in the season on waivers.
I agree with that 100%, all because of COVID.
Okay. I have him down as a late round or a waiver pickup. I had a couple of names written down. I had Jalen Reagor written down, but he going to be out, get another season, mess his shoulder up. I had Kirk Cousins down because you never Kirk Cousins, a lot of people look down on Kirk Cousins, but he's known to have solid games. It all depends on Dalvin Cook. If Dalvin Cook is going off, Zimmerman is going to let him run it till they stop him. And we know that by Kirk Cousins having, 10 pass attempts in one game last year. But I'm going with two guys, man. I'm going with Latavius Murray and Boston Scott. The reason I'm going with Latavius Murray is because Kamara has been dinged up since Ingram left. And at first I thought it was crazy for the Saints to give Latavius all that money when they had Kamara, but now I see why they did it. When Kamara was out, Latavius Murray was like a top three fantasy back last year while Kamara was out. He can catch it, he can run it, and he can block. So he's probably a guy I would look at probably putting on my team in later rounds. And Boston Scott, because when he was on the field last year, the guy balled. He can run it, he can catch it, and he can do some things out of the backfield. He do the same things Miles Sanders does, but he just look a little bit more explosive than Sanders. So I think in the late rounds, I'll probably look at Murray and Boston Scott as probably some guys I could stash away or maybe have on my bench just in case. But like y'all said, with COVID, it all depends on what your team look like. So, yeah, man, I think Murray and Boston Scott would definitely be worth looking at. Reagor would have been okay because he was going to be starting. Because Alshon is out, he was going to be a starter. So, you know, that means he was going to get targets because Carson Wentz proved last year he's going to throw to the guy that's open regardless. Greg Ward became damn near a fantasy star last year towards the end because of Carson Wentz throwing him the ball. So, but Reagor got hurt, so that hurts him. Really, I think it hurts his little growth because you're starting off on the sidelines. As a rookie, you need to get all the snaps and all the playing time you can get. Well, Jalen, get well soon. But I think people need to look at Boston Scott and Latavius Murray. All right. Who asked the first last? Carl, you went – no, Tracy, you went first last time, right?
I went first.
I don't know, maybe so. You can let Carl go first. That's fine.
I think I'm going to go first on this.
Yeah.
Every year in fantasy, you got players that all the magazines, the pundits, everybody, they're like, this guy's going to blow up this year. And then they end up landing in. And then they say, well, I'm not going to draft this guy. And then this guy end up being having a solid season.
Mm-hmm.
Overrated or underrated player? My overrated players used to be teammates. Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler. I just think I just don't. It's something about Melvin Gordon that doesn't wow me. He doesn't wow me, and I think Denver overshot their hand giving him the money when they had a back here on the cheap that do the same thing he does and probably more explosive than him than Phillip Lindsay. And I worry about Austin Eckler because he's never been the lead guy except for those couple games that Melvin Gordon sat out.
Mm-hmm.
He caught the ball more than he ran the ball in those games. So do we know whether or not he can handle the full load of being a lead guy? We don't know. So I think overrated, I got Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler. Who you got, Carl?
Overrated?
Yeah.
Tracy, don't get mad at me. Overrated? I got Todd Gurley.
Don't say it.
I got Todd Gurley. And the reason I got Todd Gurley is the year that he spent with the Rams, when he first went there, I was like, dog, that's not fair for that dude to go to that team already. And he got there and he didn't do anything. They won actually despite him. All right. And so when he went to the Falcons, you know, everybody was, you know, all hyped up about it. But I'm like, dude's like 25, 26 years old, but you swear he like 35 as long as he's been out. Like, he can't stay healthy. He got knee issues. I don't know why they looking at this guy like he's going to carry that backfield. I don't see it. And I'm not drafting. There's no way. I'm not saying I would not draft him as a bench running back to start 1 week or help a brother out during these COVID times, but it wouldn't be before the seventh round. I mean, he literally could be right behind the kicker at the end if he was out there. I just don't. And he's a starter. I'm sure he's going to start, but I just don't see it, bro. And as far as underrated, it's Chris Carson. I don't, you know, you don't hear a whole lot about Chris Carson, and I don't understand why. That dude's a top 10 back in Seattle's offense. I don't see it. They got a tight end now. I mean, a real tight end in Greg Olsen. We talked about him earlier. You know, between him and Hollister, they're gonna be a dangerous offense as well, and with you know old Danger Russ out there, so I got Chris Carson. I think he's underrated, and I think he's a top 10 running back, and a lot of people don't. When they think of the running backs, they don't even consider him until, oh shoot, you know, I forgot about this guy because he's not a house name. Maybe it's because they got Russell Wilson there and ain't nobody think about anybody else.
Yeah, that might be it too. Plus Carson, he seems to be hurt. He seems to be hurt the last couple years too, going down the stretch, and I think this year that's why they picked up. My man, Tracy's favorite player, Carlos Hyde, just to have some security behind Carson when he go down. So, Tracy, who you got? Tracy, who you got? Overrated or underrated?
I'm still trying to recover from that blow he laid on me by saying it's hard for me. But no, I get why you said that. If Atlanta thinks he's going to carry the team, no, he's not going to be able to do that. I agree with you there. But for my overrated and underrated, they are actually on the same team. My overrated player is Amari Cooper. I do not like his game. He'll have maybe one or two really good games where he blows up, and then he disappears against really good cornerbacks. And then he's just not – to me, I don't think he should be picking the first two or three rounds. But that's what people are doing. And so you mentioned him, Carl, when you talked about CeeDee Lamb, and you mentioned him specifically, him being Amari Cooper is the one that will be replaced, not Michael Gallup.
Yep.
And I completely agree with that because I just don't like Cooper's game. I think he's overpaid because, Lee, you alluded to how much money he's getting. Does any one of us think he's worth that money?
No.
I don't.
No, not $20 billion a year.
He's just, in my mind, he's not really a number one wide receiver, not inconsistent. He'll be number one this week, and then the other week he'll be a number two or number three or whatever. He's just not consistent enough to be picked and touted like they've been doing. And then the guy that I think is underrated is Michael Gallup. And the reason why I say that is because I was checking out his stats. This dude missed two games. He still had 113 targets, and he had over 1,100 yards and six touchdowns. So if you add two more games onto that as a number two wide receiver, how much better would those numbers be? That easily puts him, what, maybe one of the top five or six wide receivers in fantasy. And so if you start looking at him as more of a number one than the aforementioned Amari Cooper, and then you add CeeDee Lamb, like we already talked about, into the mix, you know, the sky's the limit for this guy. I think that people don't talk about him because they probably didn't realize that his numbers were quite that good last year. So those are my two choices.
Well, I gave y'all my overrated. I'm going to go with my underrated, man. My underrated is going to make Carl you smile. So I'm going to hit him second. I think the kid up in Buffalo, man, I think Devin Singletary is an underrated player because people really don't know. People don't really get to see Buffalo play. If you watch Buffalo play, Singletary can run it and he can catch it. For some strange reason, the coach gave Frank Gore, I think, more carries than he deserved last year. But Gore is steady. Gore is going to get you. He's not going to fumble. He's going to do what he's supposed to do, hit the hole, two, three yards, boom, good. But I think they could have gave those same carries to Devin Singletary last year just so he can get more experience. But I think with him being the lead guy this year, I look for him to be solid, possibly reach 1,000 yards rushing, and maybe another 500, 600 receiving. I say probably between – if they get him the goal line carries, I think Zach Moss, the rookie that they graduated, he'd probably be their goal line back. But if they get him the goal line carries, I see him getting between 10 and 12 touchdowns. But the guy I'm going to go with, I'm going with Ronald Jones, man. I think Jones has the chance this year to be a star for the Bucs. Although they just signed Fournette, Ronald Jones catches it better, and Brady loves to throw to running backs. Plus, Jones, I think he averaged 3.5 yards, or almost 4 yards a carry last year. I like Jones in the Bucs offense more than I like Fournette. And I think if they give Jones the start, he'll be better just for the offense, period, because he opens the field up with the way he can catch it and also with his yards per rush. So my underrated, like I said, is Singletary, but I'm really, really liking Ronald Jones this year for the Bucs. I think he's going to be a breakout star for them. And Carl went with him last year, and he really didn't do it last year, but I'm going to go with him this year. Ronald Jones made our show 2 years in a row.
Ain't that fun?
All right, man. Yep. All right, Trace, I'll come to you first on this last topic. Fantasy MVP, who you got and why?
All right, I'm going to keep saying this dude until he proves me to be right. That's going to be Saquon Barkley. The reason why I say him this year in particular, though, is because we saw Daniel Jones last year, and we saw how much he turns the ball over. He had some good moments, don't get me wrong, but he had a gang of fumbles. He had a lot of interceptions, and they got a new coaching staff in there. So I think their thing would be they want to limit how much Jones is exposed, and maybe they want to bring him along a little more slowly. So that needs Saquon Barkley. That means he's going to get a lot of carries. We already know he catches the ball out. He's basically a three-down back. He really doesn't come out of the game. I know they mix in Wayne Gallman from time to time and maybe a couple of other guys that we may not even know about at this point. But I just think that this dude's got to be a beast. He's going to be picked, what, second or third in every fantasy draft. It's already understood that C-Mac is that this is number one. So I don't dispute that. But this dude is going to be taken either immediately after him or after Zeke or somebody like that, or somebody that may want to pick Michael Thomas second. But I just think this dude is going to do everything you need to do to be the best player in fantasy football.
You don't have no worries about his offensive line?
His line, it can't be as bad as it was last year. So I think it's going to be better. They've made some moves. And plus the other thing is they are changing offenses. So I know this new coach understands what the weaknesses were last year. So I think they will work more to be able to get him in a position where he could be more successful. That other dude never should have been a head coach in the first place, not me. What was that dude's name? Y'all know what I'm talking about. What was the coach last year?
Who, Sherman? Or no, they didn't have Sherman. They had somebody else last year. I can't remember his name right now.
You had it right.
It was Sherman, yeah.
Right. Yeah. He never should have been the head coach. He's a good coordinator, pretty good, but head coach now. So I think this new dude, he's one of those New England disciples or whatever. I think he'll be able to figure out a way to get the best use out of Saquon. And like I said, basically spotlight him and not put him in all those bad positions where he gets all these negative carries. Plus, Saquon was hurt last year, so that kind of messed him up too. So I just expect big things from him again this season.
All right, bro, who you got?
Hey, you know what? Before I go into that, let me speak a little bit on what you said about Ronald Jones. So scuttlebutt around the Tampa Bay streets, he is a starter. Not regardless of, you know, we signed Leonard Fournette, he's not a starter. And everything you said about him is true. He's still my guy. That's Rojo, you know. But let me just throw this out there because you mentioned, you know, Bray likes to throw it to the running back. And when you said that, I said, let me see something real quick. And did you know Leonard Fournette caught 76 passes last year? 76. I didn't know that. I assumed I kind of put him in the category with Derrick Henry, you know, got bricks for hands.
Right.
But dude caught 76 passes last year. So he's literally a complete back. We just don't think of him like that because he's on a garbage team.
Right.
Yeah, but I think that number might be inflated, Carl, because of the injuries they had at wide receiver, and also they had a rookie quarterback. And rookie quarterbacks under pressure, what they normally do? Dump it to the running back.
Dump it down.
Right. But the bottom line is,
I think that number might be inflated. I don't think you can tell him to you can't split him out and tell him to run a route. You could do that with Ronald Jones.
You can.
Yeah, see that's okay.
Yeah, I'm not disputing that. I just looked at it. I said, well, wait a minute, let me see something. You know, no, he's not a guy that can go out there and line him up wide and beat a DB or safety. That's not happening. But Ronald Jones, on the other hand, you know, that dude is slick a can of oil. He can do it. But my MVP, I'm gonna say this: 100 touchdowns, 23 interceptions in the last 3 years. Now I'm not gonna say his name. But if I just give you those stats, would you say that this guy has won MVP already?
It's either Lamar or Patrick Mahomes.
What you say, Trey?
What, do I think he should have won MVP already?
Yeah, would you say this guy is an MVP recipient?
I would think that he should have been, and my guess is going to be that's Russell Wilson.
Yeah, absolutely. That's Russell Wilson.
Okay. Okay, go ahead. It's fine.
Dude has thrown no, it made me sick because he's talking about 23 interceptions in 3 years, and my quarterback threw 30-1. Come on, man. But to expound on what I was talking about earlier with Chris Carson at the running back, with my man Olsen at the tight end. DK Metcalf,
and Lockett.
Yeah, and Lockett. Yep. And bruh, I mean, that team is it's going to be issues for San Fran. Oh, and don't forget, now I'm going to tell you somebody who I should have, if I had thought about it, put him on my late round gem. And that's that boy, Freddie Swain from Florida. He's gonna get some playing time in the slot in that offense. And because dude is super fast.
Oh, yeah, Swain,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And all camp, they were talking about how good he is, how fast he is, you know, how disciplined he is. He's gonna get the playing time. And you know, yeah, you got Josh Gordon here. He's coming back. Don't forget him. You don't know.
Nope.
You know.
Nope.
I'm just saying. You never know. The talent is there. But what I'm leading to is Russell Wilson has weapons that he can exploit. And I think this is the time. He's not turnover prone. Dude is – it's time for him to win the MVP. I think this is the year.
I had a good call, man.
I had Russ and Saquon, but I also had Patrick Mahomes. And I want to go at this guy so bad, but I just know he ain't going to do it, man, because he's going to be hurt. I love Alvin Kamara, man. I think he gets goal line touches, he gets the rushing attempts, and he gets the passing. But he's hurt, man.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with Mahomes, man. I think Mahomes will have a couple more rushing touchdowns this year. I think he's gonna lead the league in passing yards. He might lead the league in touchdowns, depending on what Lamar does. But I think Mahomes is gonna be a guy that you're gonna look at his numbers and be like, oh my God. And a lot of people taking him in the second and third round. I understand why. I know in past years, I would never take a quarterback in the second or third round. But I think Lamar and Patrick have definitely made you buck that system of let me hold off to get a quarterback because of the numbers they put up.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Mahomes, man, but I give Kamara a shot. If he can stay healthy, that's only if he can stay healthy because he's going to get the touches. But once again, Tracy went with Saquon, Carl went with Dangerous, and I'm going with Patrick Mahomes, man. You know, man, it's been fun. Once again, we did this last year. We'll probably do it again next year. Hey, Tracy, quick question. Carl is thinking about joining our VA league. Tell him a little bit about our VA league.
It works out pretty good. I mean, there's not a bunch of trash talking or anything like that, but it's a pretty good league. It's competitive. You don't have any guys that leave holes in their roster or anything like that. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I just like I was telling Lee over text today. I'm like, look, I've been in leagues where you know the money was funny. And
I didn't win no money last year, so I can't speak to that. But the guy that runs it, he seems like he's getting the money we win.
So
I don't think that'll be a problem. But I understand what you're saying. I don't like that either when you're in these leagues where you win and then it's like, okay, well, where the cash at? They be ready to collect, but yeah, they don't be ready to pay it out.
Well, yeah, look, don't get started on that, because the league that we're in, what is it, titties and touchdowns, you know, first couple of years, you know, people not paying, and then at the end of the year, you only get what's in the pot, and people just not playing. And then guess what? The next year, them rascals let them people come right back to the doggone league.
I'll tell you right now, whoever runs that league is responsible for that money. It's his job to collect. If he don't collect it, it's on his back to cover whatever he says at the beginning of the year the payout was supposed to be. Well, people didn't pay, that's your responsibility, because you the one that picked the people that's supposed to be in the league. I don't like that. I really don't.
Bro. Oh, I was hot. I was hot. I was so hot.
I would be too.
And for me, like, if Carl in my league and Carl don't pay, I'll pay for him, because I vouch for him to join the league. Like, if my brother was in the league, my other brother was in the league, and I vouch for him, I would pay for him, because I feel like that's part of my name. You know, I support you in the league. So, but yeah, man, you know, that's just me. But I just don't understand how people, you go through doing all your research, you go through doing the draft, but you don't want to pay. I feel it. I feel Carl's paying on that. Yeah, because I know I pay all mine today.
Hey,
I pay all mine today.
I pay mine at the end of the last season. I always pay right then.
Oh, man, you was ready.
Yeah, bro, I always well, you know what? Hey, Trey, on the real, bro, the money never leaves because I always win. So I just transfer it over and then take the money.
Oh, listen to this dude. Okay, I knew you had to throw something in like that before you left. All right.
Well, we don't
talking about that. The other piece to that is these dudes that ain't paying, they got one time to not pay, and then they're not allowed to come back to the league next year because you already proven. You know, you're not about doing what needs to be done. So we'll find somebody else to take your slot. That's how I take it.
Yeah. But send me that invite. Is that on Yahoo or what?
Yes, Yahoo.
Okay, good. I dropped one.
Who dropped out?
Ben dropped out. Broncos dropped out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
What I need to know about that league?
It's definitely competitive. Mm-hmm. We got a dude named Dave in there that talks a lot of trash but does very little winning, in my opinion. But it's a good league, man. Yeah, Dave. Yeah, it's a good league to be in, man. Basically, I've been in it since 2013. I bought Tracy and Calvin in last year. Oh, y'all been there 2 years, Tracy?
No, just one.
Y'all been there 2 years, right? All right, yeah. So, man, it's a good league to be in, man. It's just fun. Plus, we all work together, but now that you know we got this stuff, we don't really get to see each other, so we can't really talk too much trash. I ain't seen Tracy in months. So, but yeah, man. Yeah, I'll send you the invite, though. I'll Oscar send you the invite for the league. It's called VA Rebels.
Yeah, have a listen to me, because I'm booked. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I got the max. I got 18. So he said three of them haven't renewed. They're like championship leagues. You can't get in unless you got trophies, and they haven't done anything yet. League ain't ready to start, so I'm gonna drop them, and I jump in that one.
All right. All right, man. But look, man, once again, second annual fantasy preview show. You know, if you listen to our show, hey, we just gave you the tools of winning your season, or at least being competitive. We'll do it again next year. You know, I know me and Tracy was going to do basketball. I think we might do a basketball show this year, because I got Tracy to do fantasy basketball last year. So we might do a fantasy basketball preview show. But, man, I appreciate y'all coming on tonight, man. Appreciate y'all gracing the people with some information that can help them have a strong draft. Once again, I have my brother Carl up here, my homeboy Tracy, And we've been playing fantasy football for probably over 100 combined years, probably.
Yeah.
I've been playing, So it's been fun, man. Any last words for you guys?
Hey, you know what?
I appreciate the invite, man.
Yeah, as usual, I love the invite. I love the insight as well, because you know, I listen to everything you're saying. I'm like, you know, I didn't think about that, you know, and so yeah, that's good. But I add something else, Trace. I want to know, you know, how was your first season, in your opinion, in the Big Clark Internet Invitational?
I couldn't stand it because I didn't win. It drove me crazy. I was ready. I had a good draft. I had the right players. They just didn't perform. So you know how in real life where the coaches take responsibility, this time I'm playing the players. They failed me. So I'm ready this year. I'm ready to win. It's going to be a whole nother year. I'm already on 2021. I ain't even thinking about 2020. So, yeah, I'm ready.
All right, man, I was telling Lee, I said, boy, I bet Tracy is pissed off right now, boy. We just talking this trash, he can't get nothing right going on with the team.
No, I was hot. And, I mean, I made so many moves trying to make adjustments, and then the guy you drop goes off, the guy you insert in the lineup does nothing. The week you sit in, he blows up. And just everything that I could have got wrong, seemed like it was happening to me. So, but this is a whole new year. I'm looking forward to bigger and better things. So
you
I'm going to make some noise this year.
You know, one thing I noticed, it's a lot of people that make a ton of moves. And it don't work out because they didn't put the work in for the draft.
You got that right. You're right.
You know, I'm looking right now. I did 9 moves last year. That's it. I did the least out of everybody. 9 moves, all I did. And my team was garbage. My team was good. I'm sorry. My season was going garbage.
Yeah.
And then, I made
Then he played Jameis Winston.
Oh, man.
Then he played Jameis Winston down the stretch.
Hey, wait, bruh. You call it lightning in the bottle if you want to. I call it draft etiquette.
Okay.
Well, ain't gonna lie. In all my draft kings last year towards the end, I had him and Perryman. And all my draft kings going towards the end last year, I played Jameis and Perryman last year.
That's what I'm
sure they did. Yeah. Exactly. Well, you know, we kind of went over, but that's cool. You know, it's all good. We have fun, like we always do when we do this show. Thanks for everybody for listening. Thanks to my two co-hosts. Once again, my brother Carl, my homeboy Tracy. In closing, like always, live, love, laugh. Live your life to the fullest every day. Tell somebody you love them. And always try to have one good laugh. That being said, Lee and Keys Real Talk Podcast, second annual fantasy football preview show, signing off for the night. And as always, peace.